Good. We were talking before the presentation about intellectual property. So as you know, September 16th of this year, U.S. Senate and House passed legislation on the new patent laws, which means first to file, not first to invent. So when you're giving your presentations a little later on, be just aware of that. So that's my intellectual property business disclaimer today.
All right. First, I'd like to disclose that myself and my co-author, Phil Weintraub, have had no relevant commercial relationships to disclose regarding this topic. Independent and innovative. I'm going to review, do a high level cloud computing, but also go through and talk about areas that will be disruptive. But more than anything, looking at the past two presentations, what I want to get at is not all applications are appropriate for the cloud. And there are certain areas, not just a database and not just computational, but graphical, that need tighter integration into hardware, between hardware and software for optimization or conversion into massively parallel type processing. So we'll talk a little bit about that towards the end of this. Here we go again, another trend. We've got available on demand, pay-as-you-go, processing by hour, storage by the day. Larry Ellison had a recent interview, and he went through, or not so recent, he's converted since then, but was saying, you know, what is it? Is it water vapor? Is it? Are we just dealing with a network and servers? And well, the hype chart for Gartner shows that, if you can see it, we're still on the other end of that curve, and still approaching the zenith of peak. And that kind of points to the fact that within the healthcare community and in general with IT leaders, there's still a lack of trust over applications over the cloud. So let's take a closer look real quick at the cloud and the computing layers. And you may be familiar with this, you may not be. I'm not sure what the dynamics of the audience are. But we have application platform and infrastructure where the cloud applications are very centric. They're also driven to automatic scaling and failover. The platforms, more of what was just discussed, really are driving utility-grade developer tools, not things for end users. And then the infrastructure is really allowing access to the compute power. And there's this question about private, public, or hybrid clouds that we'll discuss. So, got my lightning bolt. Who's delivering solutions? The reason why we're moving down this path, even though trust is not quite where it needs to be yet, is if you look at 2006, 2007, these were the major players that were involved in each of the areas, although they tend to cross lines. Just recently, as of the beginning of 2010, we had and more very large players, well-funded and structured. And then most recently, of course, Apple iCloud. Now, most people look at iCloud as strictly a consumer-based product, but the truth is their understanding of the autonomous nature of devices really puts them in an interesting space between the platform and applications space. So I'm not saying that Apple's moving immediately into healthcare to help drive this, but when you think about all those iPads out there, it's an interesting space to be. So is the healthcare industry buying in? Yeah, as a matter of fact, looks pretty good. The recent, in February, Accenture went through a survey and found that about 32% were using cloud applications, and overall 73% plan to use some cloud applications. Now we'll talk about which cloud applications because that has real relevance to my presentation. But my firm really focuses on rural healthcare, and not just in the U.S., but we do work in Western Africa, Caribbean, and isolated Pacific countries, and how to drive and leap from where our IT systems are today to where they need to be. So while overall the healthcare industry is adopting, the rural healthcare providers are not. And a lot of reasons. They're baseline for adequate IT. Oh, is anybody here from a rural healthcare provider? Okay. Good. So you know these issues. Inadequate or no connectivity. Yesterday, my co-author Phil Weintraub did a whole presentation on the connectivity issue. Today's cloud. So delays in EHRs, legacy systems, all the typical reasons. But, you know, everybody else is shifting over, so why not rural healthcare? Well, here's a quick snapshot of the financing options for small and rural hospitals. And you can see, as of 2010, 68% of small, not-for-profit hospitals fall in categories close to junk bonds. So the ability to go out and get typical financing is gone. ARRA, USDA, and HITECH are helping to some extent. But now, a second major issue is connectivity doesn't exist. You know, if you live in a town like D.C., you're used to having broadband connectivity at very adequate levels to perform transfers over networks of large files. When I say it doesn't exist, and it doesn't exist in a lot of places in America, we were recently out on the borderline of Missouri and Arkansas, and you can look at the borders of Kentucky and Ohio, and you can look at the borders of Alabama and Georgia. 15 megabytes per second by 2015. Now, what does that do? Broadband America. This is the national initiative. It's consumer-based, but it's not suitable for healthcare. Because look at what's being sent back and forth on these files. And this isn't getting into the computational standpoint. This is just driving the sourcing of data. So we need more significant infrastructure. And with Joppa, Missouri, I'm sure you remember that on the news, where you literally saw all these healthcare records and x-rays and everything out in the fields. It's not just being the center of healthcare. It is an absolute need because disasters happen. Luckily for Joplin, because of the recent acquisition of St. John's Regional, they actually had converted to electronic medical records. But most of the rural healthcare providers are stalled out. They don't have the resources and they don't have the capability to implement. So while they started electronic healthcare records, they don't have the funds to continue. And, of course, we have the legacy systems, which you're all familiar with, and we're our problem as much in urban hospitals as rural hospitals. But the interesting thing is what's been done in rural healthcare has really been based on three assumptions. Healthcare work is logical, data entry by encoding is more efficient, and solution to efficiency and completeness is automation. None of those work. So we have some real problems. We have to go through and attack this differently than it's been attacked in the past. And why rural America? Because look at the shortage of physicians. While there's an overall shortage of 100,000 or 120,000 physicians throughout the nation, rural America suffers more, and that's fewer than 10 per thousand in some areas. We've been to many counties where not just the physician count, one neurologist in 10 to 11 counties, no dentists in three or four counties. Regional hospitals are trying to make up the difference, but they struggle. And it's getting worse. They cannot afford to pay the tuitions, pay the loans, do the typical things to attract talent. So productivity through software is the only way to go. And here are some key areas: telemedicine with remote care, clinical decision support, electronic health records, and health intelligence, where I'm focusing a little more because for cloud deployment, because what we're really looking at is that spectrum across the bottom. With rural healthcare, the first thing I have to do is move them into revenue-generating opportunities. And revenue-generating includes new services, new applications, better ways to go through and reach from a mobility standpoint, ways to support the first responders, biosurveillance, electronic or medical homes, augmented reality, as we just went through a presentation of. So these are the areas, the blue dots are really where we're focusing, but there's a problem with each of those types of applications. And let's go through why they're disruptive first. So the existing systems in place are ERP systems that are and build out of ERP systems that are really overreaching most of the large hospital systems right now. they don't really need the specialization, or they don't need an extension of better collection systems and better. They are now looking at very specialized areas where those applications will apply. From a telemedicine standpoint, telemedicine is a problem because it isn't a natural fit in most of the larger systems because it's bandwidth hungry and it's processor hungry and it doesn't fit on the typical server. So if we can solve that problem, we have an opportunity to come in and create a new paradigm using the cloud. And that's creating the new market disruptors. So let's look. It's a different basis of competition. So getting back to what applications are ready or what applications are not, cloud ready is really this issue. Yes, this issue of accessing the databases and databases in volume, just like we it was discussed in the previous presentation. That's a scalable user base. It's using central management and it has good disaster recovery and business continuity. These are areas that are typically transactional and really. The calculation to go through and determine whether to use cloud applications or not is driven by the cost calculation of what the support is versus what you gain. When you get into the volume transactions, we're leveraging EMR clustering, statistical analysis, risk pool analysis, things like that. You're now in the cloud delivery in rural hospitals, not in urban and large networks where they have none of that processing capability. The cloud's looking very good because this gives them access to that processing power to access high volume. It also connects them to research institutions. But when you move into the combination of high algorithmic and graphical calculation, and that optimization between hardware and software that's necessary in order to drive augmented reality, in order to drive a lot of systems combined with radiology and sonograms and do fuse data between multiple systems. Now you're really at a place where rural America doesn't have any systems in place like that and they cannot afford them, and the only place to go is the cloud. So, other opportunities coming in are combat medics from Afghanistan are bringing a lot of technology back to the U.S. And we have thousands of unique physician-developed applications that are out there. But the code is spaghetti. We need to take it apart and reconfigure it specifically for massively parallel processing. And that's really the opportunity that we're working on with multiple governments, EU, and other places outside the U.S., and we'd like to apply it to rural America, is the ability to go through and form a trust where these applications are being and reconfigured to work on the cloud. So, in summary, rural America is not going to be able to achieve integrated healthcare without help. Connectivity and the cloud are the essential items for infrastructure. And private-public partnerships like the trust we talked about are one of the key ways to achieve that. All right, best I could do in 15 minutes. Thank you very much. Questions? Any questions? Come on, Phil, you got to have a question.
Come on, Claire.
Too early. I should have brought my mom. She always questions why I do. Go ahead, Lord.
Like your reference to Christensen.
Yes.
Innovative Solution.
That's correct.
So you read your book.
I used to teach.
Okay, fantastic. It's a great book. As you get this, you know, disruptive. Now, on the computation, then, right? Just to reiterate, cloud computing, the value proposition, a lot of times in rural America, you don't have the type of infrastructure nor the computing power, so you need to actually have that computational power across the internet. So, give us an example of a public health application, right, where a lot of data has to be used and computed in real time, where the cloud computing infrastructure provides value in that situation.
Well, when we go through and tell a triage with a first responder, I could use your application for that, as a matter of fact, but in tele triage, we go through and we're pulling multiple sensor feeds. One of the things that the computational needs are for are as much small data as they are large data. So the teletriage situation, you have multiple visual feeds coming in, you may have overlays of an in-the-field MRI, and you might have additionally the augmented reality session that's guiding the first responder through any intervention. So the combination of all those creates a bandwidth problem, which is another issue we need to, but from a, that's a very delicate balance, whoops, between the GPU, CPU, algorithmic, it's a heavy load on any system. Yes, Phil. Okay.
Which situation where the best case where the hospital is connected to the cloud and the monitoring devices are mobile?
Okay. So from a sensor network standpoint, in a general hospital, we're going through and let's say that on an ongoing basis, a large hospital could have, typical rural hospital, large rural hospital, 120 beds, and we're working with about 60,000 feeds of data that are coming in that need to be sorted and tasked. Some of them are just stored, but some of them are processed for alerts, and then others go into higher levels of computational. When we are looking at a rural extended area and you have medical homes, which are a big piece of that, in addition to the hospital and the treatment and the clinics, you're now extending based potentially to an ongoing basis 5,000 patients or so. The bandwidth needs of something like that exceed a gigabyte per second upstream with just network sensor data coming in, and we know this to be the case because actually we saw this in Afghanistan where we looked at a brigade at over 100 square miles and what the uploaded data was, and there are over 5 to 10 million points of data that are being processed on a regular basis. They're being processed as quickly as they can. So it's a huge jump, and it's the combination of distance and computational need that drives what the cloud opportunity. Does that answer your question, Paul?
One more question.
Yes. Yes. Well, mobility. That was the key issue, is that now, in Afghanistan, we were able to stand a guy on the hill and point at the combat medic and take the burst of information and transport satellite. Incredibly expensive, and I don't think you're going to be doing that in the field in Arkansas. Might be more dangerous. But in our situation, Phil's presentation was focused on yesterday, was solving that connectivity issue and doing it in a way that focuses on healthcare first and not on meeting an OECD requirement of reaching 93% of your population. You need to reach 93%, well, you need to reach 100% of your area where you need to care. Okay?
Thank you. Very good.
Excellent. Just to elaborate on it, the military typically uses an electronic to a tactical network, but that's still on the high side, so they can't talk about it too much today. which means a secret. But then, based on our experience, we were funded by Tatrick, and we actually had a platoon has a certain combat medic is in charge of a platoon. The platoon has electronic medical records, and we actually did some research where we were able to display various information like vital signs and allergic reaction to medication, specific information that was viewed right there in a wearable optical see-through display, because it was a limited amount of people on a population, small population that you have to attend to, so all that information could be stored right there on a micro SD on a headset. So it's a one-way upload, and then you use it on field. You get your analytical information right there in the heads-up display. Send that information to a field hospital in the rear, and then that information can be uploaded to a combat surgeon that can perform the continuous care. So there's different configurations. It all depends on the type of application that's required. Cloud computing is very configurable. Maybe you need the computational power locally. Sometimes you may need it remotely. It all depends on your specific scenario. So that's another way that we learn from a lot of military care, how can it apply to the public health first response situation.